big contest. And it is Elijah on Mount Carmel. And a lot of the way he stood up for the Lord with just about everybody against him except one, and that was God. And as we go through this, see if we can remember the power of God. Remember, God will answer prayer as he answered for Elijah. And this is in 1 Kings chapter 18, beginning down about verse 17. Oh, we'll start with about 14. Now here is Elijah trying to get his servant to go tell Ahab that he's coming to see him. And Obadiah says in verse 16, went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. Then it happened when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said to him, is that you, O troubler of Israel? So here, old Ahab was blaming all the troubles that Israel had on Elijah. But then in verse 18, and he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have. Now he's talking to King Ahab, Elijah is, in that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and have followed the Baals. Ahab tried to put all the blame and everything on Elijah, but Elijah, we might say, turned the course on him, and he will eventually show how that God's power overtakes all of them in answering his prayer Elijah had. Now therefore, here's Elijah was one of the greatest of the Old Testament prophets. And during the dark days of King Ahab and Jezebel, Elijah stood, we might say, strong for the Lord. Stood up for the Lord where nobody else, as we read. He was willing to stand up for God when it was needed most. And now we say, how we need more heroes like him in our sin-sick society of today. Sin-sick society of today. I get it right after a while. But we today are so much like Elijah was there, as we will see what all was confronting Elijah. And it can so much compare the way we are today. The bold prophet goes against, we might say, King Ahab, and tells him that he is the one troubling Israel. And he's going to show him how. He's going to prove all of King Ahab's, we might say, armies of people that he had. All that was with Elijah was God. So here was one man and God going against all of these 450 prophets and 400 other people that served Asherosh, as well as a lot of his brethren even had turned against the truth and was away. In verse 20 it says, "Now therefore send and gather 19 and all Israel to me on Mount Carmel, 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who all eat at Jezebel's table." So we see here one and God against all of these 450 or 400 of these different groups, probably a total of 800 or more people against Elijah. But it was Elijah and God. That's what so many things we need to remember. With God, we see it posted at St. Thomas a lot, with God nothing is impossible. And that's the way Elijah had it here, going with God, nothing was impossible. The big showdown on Mount Carmel was the climax of Elijah's lifetime, pointing all the way up to that. The bold prophet goes nose to nose, or a lot of times we would say head to head, with the wicked king, and tells him the truth about what has actually happened in the land. Verse 18, he answered, "I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have, in that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and have followed the Baals." So Elijah put it to him just as it was. He was following the Baals that are followers of evil, wicked people, the Baals. Elijah says, "Now therefore send and gather all Israel to me on Mount Carmel, the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table." Over 800 prophets was against Elijah. Verse 20, so Abraham sent for all children of Israel and gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel. And Elijah came to all the people and said, "How long will you falter between two opinions?" They had been going back and forth between God and Baal, Baal and God. The children of Israel just could not be different in what they were doing. So Ahab sent for all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel. And Elijah came to all the people and said, "How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him." But the people answered him not a word. Again, Elijah is all by himself, except with God. No other Israelites were there, would stand up with him, stand up for him. He and God. Then Elijah said to the people, "I alone am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men." So we can compare a lot of what's going on here with Elijah as what we see today. Out in the world, look at how many out there is against faithful Christians. And it would be just about the same, one against, as long as God is on our side, nothing can come between us. nothing can falter. The big showdown on Mount Carmel. There was a severe famine in the land after 3 years of rain. Now Elijah had prayed that it not rain, and it didn't for 3 years. And there was a great famine in the land. King Ahab wanted to blame Elijah for causing the problem, as we just read that he had called him the troubler of Israel. But Elijah went back to him and said, "No, it's not me, it's you." Because the king and all of them had went serving Baals. That's a servant of the devil. Serving Baals. Then Elijah said to the people, "I alone am left a prophet of the Lord." But Baal's prophet are 450 men. "Therefore, let them give us two bulls." Now this is the challenge, or the great confrontation that we're going to see that they're going to have. And the thing that you're showing here is the awesome power of God. And we can see all this in the prayer answering to Elijah. Elijah came to all the people and said, "How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him." But the people answered not a word. I can sort of see something similar to this day. You show so many people the true word of God, they'll say, "I believe it, but I know that, but." So many times they'll have an excuse, just as Ahab had here. He was serving the Baals. Elijah told him, "You are the one causing the problem." So Elijah was very bold and went face to face, or head to head, in challenging Ahab. Or Ahab challenged Elijah, and Elijah was going to prove it to him. Elijah's going to publicly embarrass and expose Ahab's false gods. How often today can we take the word of God and show to other people what is true and what is not true? Elijah did. It's a challenge, I guess you say, to us to do and confront wrongdoing head on. The great confrontation. The living God of heaven versus the false idols of men on earth. How much do we see that going on today? Men being confronted, or should be confronted, by so much of the things that they believe. So much of false gods that people worship. And it could be anything. All right, we can ask the question, who is in the majority? 450 prophets of Baal, 400 of Asherah. And then we can see one prophet Elijah and God. If it was going to wager like some people do today, if we didn't know God, which one would we wager for? The 450 prophets of Baal. Oh, that's 450 against one. But we might say, the problem that King Ahab had was one God. Ahab was fighting God and didn't realize it. So here Elijah says, I alone am left a prophet of the Lord. Therefore let them give us two bulls, and let them choose one bull for themselves, cut it in pieces, and lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it, and I might part the other bull and lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it. So here's the confrontation that they're having. Elijah has challenged them, we might say, to a duel as to whose God is the greatest. The God of Baal that they have, or God, God of heaven. So they took and choose their two, lay it on the wood, put no fire. Then they were to call on the name of the God, and Elijah would call on the name of the Lord. The followers of Baal yelled, screamed, hollered, did everything, trying to get their God. And we can see in the place it's talking about, Elijah sort of teased them, because he said, yell louder. Yell louder, you might wake them up, or they might be asleep. Now Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose one bull for yourself and prepare it first, but put no fire on it. So they took the bull which was given them, and they prepared it and called on the name of Baal from morning until noon. From morning until noon, they called for their gods. Still, no fire came. Then he came to Elijah. Elijah took the bull that he had, put it on the whatever it was he's running out, can't get my head on straight. But anyway, Elijah prayed to God, and God sent down so much fire that it burnt the offering that they had, plus the altar, plus everything, and the water that was in the pit around it consumed it all. And we can see the quick answer that God gave, more powerful than all of the 450 prophets of Baal and all of the 400 prophets of Asherah. God was more powerful. God was stronger than all of them. And we can say today, so many times we go out into the world and it's only one and God. Look at all of the wickedness going on out there. It'd be almost one against total. But God answers. He says, this is essentially the same battle that we face today as Christians. The names may have changed, but nothing else has. Faithful Christians who are standing on the Word of God against the unbelievers of this age, with all of their idols and unfaithful brethren who have departed and deserted the truth. That's what we have today. All of these false gods, we might say, or false prophets out there teaching their religion, and people believe them. But as we go on, we see that God took the great confrontation here, and the challenge was on. 1 Kings 18, starting with 21. Then Elijah said to the people, "I alone am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Therefore, let them give us two bulls and let them cut it in pieces, put it on the wood, and so forth." So they took the bull. All the prophets put theirs on the altar. But there was no voice. No one answered. Then they leaped about the altar which they had made. You know, we don't have anything as drastic as that today. But it's almost this way. All of the gods out there, all of the things that people worship against one God, the true and living God. The prophets of Baal failed to contact their God, despite all of their screaming and scratching and jumping around. Now it is Elijah's turn to show the power of God. He builds his altar, puts the sacrifice on it, pours water on it till it fills up a cistern-like thing around it, or a ditch around it, full of water. And then he prays. And what happens? God sends a fire down that completely destroys or burns up the altar, all of the water that was poured on it, all of the water that was around it. The fire just consumed it. The power of God was able to do all of that. The hardest thing to make sometimes is a definite decision. And so many times, as we can see happen to Felix, I want a better time. I'm waiting for something easier to come along. But as we can see, Felix lost his soul because he refused to make a definite decision. And in 2 Corinthians 6:2, we know where it reads that now is the accepted time. Now is the time to obey God, as it proves here. God's response was immediate, instantaneous, and spectacular. God's power was all of that. Oh, we might ask, what's the conclusion we have? Of course, it's going to be a lot shorter than I thought it would. What's the climax? Verse 18, 31 through 40. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, "Israel shall be your name." Then with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench around the altar large enough to hold 2 sheaves of seed. And he put the wood in order, cut the bull in pieces, and laid it on the wood, and said, "Fill 4 water pots with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood." Then he said, "Do it a second time." And they did it a second time. And he said, "Do it a third time." And they did it a third time, till the water ran all around the altar. And he also filled the trench with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God and that your servant have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. And then as we read, God's power set the fire down, destroys all, everything, the water. Can we imagine? Water, enough that it filled the trench that they had around it. And God's power took it away instantly. Burned all of it instantly. Okay. Now, God worked through frail people today. We are frail. But God will take care of it just like he did for Elijah. If, when our hearts are completely God's. When our hearts are completely God. Then the question we would ask, is thy heart right with God? Is our heart right with God? On the day of Pentecost, people were pricked to their heart and were asked to make a decision. Lots of them made the decision, made the right decision. Today, God has asked mankind to make that decision. Are they going to serve the idols of today? And we know many and many idols are out there that people are serving, people are worshiping. God is asking you to make that same decision today, to come down off the fence and live all out for him. All out for him. You know, I would almost say we here, most of us, I think, have all out decision to serve God. But sometime I wonder where all the people were sitting over that way this morning and some sitting over that way this morning. Are they all out for God? And that's the question we need to ask ourselves. Are we all out for God? Are we just part of the way? Are we willing to stand up with God and preach to the world out there? I think that's what this lesson taught us. That we can, no matter how frail we are, we can stand with God. Nothing is impossible with God. That's the lesson for tonight. Remember, God and I. That's what we all need to remember. God and I. Our life for God begins when? Baptism. Our life for God ends at death or at the end of time, whichever comes first. Are we serving God as we truly believe that he is the number one God? Number one in our life. Our total life. not just part of the way, but all the way serving God. If any are here that have never obeyed the gospel, never started your life serving God, and we start that at baptism, serving God all of our life. If there are any that needs prayer or whatever tonight, looks like most everybody here that I know of have already been baptized. So we're talking to mostly to Christians. We don't want none of these so-called Christians like Elijah had, people that had turned away. But we want to all be serving that one God. Totally serving. If we need to be anyway, let's do it while we stand and sing. If I can start.
Are you?